The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Ridiculous News is a production of iHeartRadio and Cool 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 Audio.
With amazing and crazy topics to pick and to choose, you are now tuned in to Ridiculous News with interesting views on breaking the rules of broadcasting and all sorts of wild reports to keep us laughing with funny off-brand upbeat journalism. The strange and unusual stories of what we give them when it's all about Ridiculous News everywhere. We talking about Ridiculous News over here.
Hey everyone, welcome to Ridiculous News, not your average news show. We cover stuff you didn't realize was news, from the wild and funny to the deep and hidden to the absolutely ridiculous.
I'm Bill Worley, an Atlanta-based filmmaker and comedian, and I'm super excited about the topic today because, as we all know from movies and film, AI never has any issues and always works perfectly.
Hey, everyone. My name is Mark Kendall. I'm an Atlanta-based comedian. And Bill, I got to say, you know, I love your take on what sci-fi movies taught us about AI. But no, for real, like, while I'm cautiously optimistic about, you know, technology and AI and where it can go, you know, at the same time, you know, those sci-fi movies, they do have me skeptical. And y'all, today is a deep dive episode about racism in AI, as well as the people and organizations that are working hard to fight against that. So as artificial intelligence, you know, this is amazing technology, but it's not immune from prejudice influencing how it operates, much like many other parts of our lives. So we're going to look at ways in which racism pops up in AI through different news headlines, as well as, like I said earlier, looking at the people trying to make things better and more inclusive and equitable. In addition to that, we are joined by our special guest who's joined us on the podcast before. We're so happy to have him back. It's Jamie Alilaw. And so Jamie is a creator of many passions with a grounded mission of empowerment, edification, and education. Jamie engages the world as an opera singer, leadership and life coach, entrepreneur, educator, and public speaker. Based in Atlanta, Jamie is an Army veteran and mother. Welcome, Jamie.
Yay!
I'm so happy to be back.
We're happy to have you back, Jamie. And we'll kick things off the way we do every time we have a guest, which is a segment called Giving Them Their Flowers. And so this is a moment where we give you a quick compliment that you cannot return. So, Jamie, I'll start off. I want to thank you for joining me on stage at City Winery in Atlanta. We got to do some improv. You sang some music. You were phenomenal, as always. And I'm already looking forward to the next one. I'll ask you about what you're doing very soon to see if you want to do another show. So thank you.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Yeah, it's always so much fun to be on the stage with you, Mark.
Yeah.
And to pony off of that, I was at that show in the front row. And Jamie, I've seen you perform before. You know, we've worked together before for sketch stuff. But I had never seen you do that bit that you did there. And it blew my mind. It was so amazing. And I'm sure you get that feedback from anybody who sees it. But it's just so awesome to watch. And also, just it's just fun to catch up with you, Jamie. Like, even before we start recording, it's always fun to chat with you. Excited to have you on the podcast. Always good to see you.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, too. I like you, Bill.
Yeah.
Hey.
So next up, y'all, we have some ridiculous news nibbles. So these are headlines that are centered around the theme of racism in AI, our topic for today. And so this first headline comes from BBC News. And the headline is Facebook apology as AI labels black men as primates. And you've probably seen headlines like this before a couple times throughout the years. But Facebook users who watched a newspaper video featuring black men were asked if they wanted to, quote, keep seeing videos about primates, end quote. And that was from an artificial intelligence recommendation system. So Facebook told the BBC that it was clearly an unacceptable error. It disabled the system and launched an investigation. They went on to say, we apologize to anyone who may have seen these offensive recommendations. And so this has been a pattern where you have errors popping up, and it's because of racial bias embedded in the AI technology. In 2020, Facebook announced a new, quote, inclusive product council and a new equity team in for Instagram. And that would hopefully examine, among other things, whether its algorithms exhibited racial bias. So the primates recommendation was an algorithmic error on Facebook and did not reflect the content of the video. And that was what a representative told BBC News. So the article goes on to say that we disabled the entire topic recommendation feature as soon as we realized this was happening so we could investigate the cause and prevent this from happening again. As we have said, while we have made improvements to our AI, we know it's not perfect and we have more progress to make. And the reason I like this as a first headline to kind of like start our conversation about, you know, racial bias in AI, racism in AI, is that these are kind of typical stories that you will see pop up, is that, you know, a social media platform, a website will introduce a form of technology, a form of AI, and then there's like racial bias that comes with it. And then they have to quickly backtrack like, oh, we didn't know it was going to do that, you know? And so, and then they're like, we're trying to figure out how to solve it. And so I think that that sets up a lot of these other stories we're going to go into.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this just speaks to the lack of diversity in folks that maybe designed this program, right? And I think that's probably something that's going to come up a bit is, you know, certainly I think if there were more people of color involved in the programming, maybe this and the testing, et cetera, of things like this, then those biases should be realized ahead of time. So it's just one of these things where, you know, the obvious thing is to make sure this works. Any kind of AI works regardless of what you look like, regardless of your skin tone. One way to do that is, I think, a lot of the AI that's designed right now, and you look at these tech companies, it's a lot of white male dudes, right? And so I think that's one of the big problems, as I'm sure we'll discover as we continue to talk about this stuff.
So, Bill, yeah, thanks so much for sharing that point. I think that's really great. Jamie, any thoughts on the article?
Yeah, I mean, one, like, wow, like, do you want to continue? Because what you've been viewing is primates. Yeah, yeah. So do you want to keep it up, buddy? Like, that one is like, okay, wow. But, you know, actually, it reminds me of a post I saw from someone who is a friend and a mentor in a lot of the work that I do around equity and racial justice. And she commented on something, and she said, love is not the solution to racism because hate is not the problem. She said, the problem is white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And when I think about this, and you know, to your point, Bill, it's like white supremacy can be so blinding that you don't even like consider the fact that you are literally typically in a room with just a bunch of older white guys making these decisions, because white supremacy says, of course, this is the way that it happens. Mm-hmm. And white supremacy says, of course, white is the standard and everything else is a deviation from that. So it's such a huge gaping blind spot that doesn't get questioned because white supremacy says that white is supreme.
Right.
So I don't hate you. I'm not a bad person. I'm not, you know, like the biases that are written into these systems, it's not because people are bad or mean or hateful or ignorant. It's because of the myth of white supremacy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, this, you know, people trying to solve that issue leads us into this next article, is because when you have a room full of just white faces and in a white town in the middle of wherever you are, you know, then that you become blinded, or you're not thinking about other people, which is terrible. And so a lot of people try to bring in people of color, and they do that by hiring diversity. And this next article from Forbes by Madeline Halbert is titled AI-powered job recruitment tools may not improve hiring, and diversity experts argue. It says that job recruitment tools that claim to use artificial intelligence to avoid gender and racial biases may not improve diversity in hiring and could actually perpetuate those prejudices. Researchers within the University of Cambridge argued Sunday, casting the programs, which have drawn criticism in the past, as a way of using technology to offer a quick fix for a deeper problem. The researchers, two professors at Cambridge, argued that these tools may actually promote uniformity in hiring because they reproduce cultural biases of the, quote, ideal candidate, which has historically been white or European males. This is a quote from Eleanor Drange, one of the co-authors, and she said, by claiming that racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination can be stripped away from the hiring process using AI, these companies reduce race and gender down to insignificant data points rather than systems of power that shape how we move through the world. And that's always, yeah, anytime you take the humanity out of something and just rely on these statistical data points, this comes up over and over again. And you know, these articles that, Mark, that you pulled, and our wonderful researcher, Casey, pulled information from as well. It's like, and this is a problem I'm not sure how we're going to overcome, because it's when you break us down into data points and things like that, it becomes faceless. There's so much nuance to the world that doesn't see. And one of the interesting things about this article too is it goes on to say that Amazon announced back in 2018 it would stop using AI recruiting tools to review applications out after it found it strongly, this is from the article, quote, strongly discriminating against females. And that's because computer models it relied on were developed based on resumes submitted to the company over the past 10 years, which majority male applicants. And so it's not, you know, it's like these computers are just using the data that we're giving them, and we're not realizing, or these particular people aren't realizing the biases in that data already. And just I feel like the biases in data in general.
Yeah, to me, it's just like a demonstration of just how much we don't get it, like what is actually going on. Because to your point, Bill, that was exactly what came to mind immediately. It's like, this is a human thing. And so getting away from humanity is not going to bring the solution that is going to be sustainable. And there's no way around the deep, challenging, messy work of diving in, getting curious, questioning, challenging, facing the shame, the fear, the all of that stuff in order to get to the solutions on the other side. Like, you can't come up with a mathematic equation that erases it all. And it can provide insights, which it definitely has. And like, I'm sure they didn't think that this was the way that it was going to benefit the work, right? But, you know, if they look at this, they can see all of the things that they've been trying to avoid by, you know, passing it off to computers so that they don't have to be don't have to face, you know, that I'm a good person and I'm racist.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this next headline kind of continues a similar conversation. So this is from CBC News by Jorge Barrera and Albert Lung. And the headline is, AI has a racism problem, but fixing it is complicated, say experts. So online retail giant Amazon recently deleted the N-word from a product description of a black colored action figure and admitted to CBC News as safeguards failed to screen out the racist term. The multi-billion dollar firm's gatekeeping also failed to stop the same word from appearing in the product descriptions for a do-rag and a shower curtain. So the China-based company selling the merchandise likely had no idea what the English description said. And that's what experts tell CBC News, as an artificial intelligence language program produced the content. So Retalier and Condi said that AI has a race problem. And this is a former journalist and technology policy expert. And they run the US-based nonprofit organization AI for the People. And that organization aims to end the underrepresentation of Black people in the US technology sector. And they go on to say that what it tells us is AI research, development, and production is really driven by people that are blind to the impact that race and racism has on shaping not just technological processes, but our lives in general. So the article goes on to say that, like, simply, and we were kind of touching on some of this earlier, but like simply filtering data for racist words and stereotypes would also lead to censoring historical texts, songs, and other cultural references. And so a search for the N-word on Amazon turns up more than 1,000 book titles by Black artists and authors. So this is something that you all were getting at, which is that it's more nuanced than simply just like having a program that, you know, erases these things. And Bill, you had highlighted a quote from Nkondi that I thought was summed it up really well, which is him saying, we need to normalize the idea that technology itself is not neutral.
I mean, and can we just take a moment, right? Because you said on Amazon that it also turned up the use of a racist term as, when referring to shower curtains. Yeah. So I'm like, did they call them like nigger curtains? Is that what what we're saying? Like, y'all need to come and get these nigger curtains. So I'm like, I mean, right. I don't know. They could be great, but just what an experience to be searching for, you know, just luscious, luxurious Black shower curtains.
Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah. It's so bizarre. And, you know, it's, to speak to that nuance of it is, you know, you have 1,000 books with that word that might be in the title or around. And so, you know, I think part of it is it feels like it's laziness wanting to put this on AI a bit. You know, I think there's such nuance to it, and you have these companies with, you know, billions of dollars. And to Akande's point is like, if we know technology itself is not neutral, then it might not be ready to handle some of this yet, y'all. So some of these things need to be handled by human beings and not just older white men. We need a diversity of human beings there that can actually look at this stuff and make an informed decision. And it's so sensitive. I don't understand why that's not happening. I know that it's probably a decent amount of data, but I don't know. 1,000 is not too much in my mind for someone who had that job or that position.
Well, and the thing is that all of it is the responsibility of people, because then the people go and program and create the AI.
Right.
So it gets back to the input. And so the programmers, the creators, have to themselves possess the nuance, the willingness, the ability to then teach the computer and the technology to carry on what they've put into it. So there's no way around it.
We're gonna take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With amazing and crazy topics to pick and to choose, you are now tuned in to Ridiculous News.
All right, y'all. So we're back and we are talking about racism in AI, as well as people that are working to make things more equitable. And we are joined by our amazing special guest, Jamie Alilaw. And so we're hopping into another story. This one's from the New York Times by Cade Metz. And the headline is, who is making sure that AI machines aren't racist? So Dr. Timnit Gebru was pushed out of Google without a clear explanation, the article says. And she said she had been fired after criticizing Google's approach to minority hiring and with a research paper highlighting the harmful biases in the AI systems that underpin Google's search engine and other services. They had a quote saying, this is from Dr. Gebru saying, your life starts getting worse when you start advocating for underrepresented people. You start making the other leaders upset. So then the article goes on to say that Dr. Margaret Mitchell, who was building a group inside Google dedicated to ethical AI, defended Dr. Gebru. And the company removed her too. Nice. She had searched through her own Google email account for material that would support their position and forwarded emails to another account, which somehow got her into trouble. And yeah, her firing or her removal from the company was weird as well. You know, so their departure became a point of contention for AI researchers and other tech workers. And some saw a giant company, right, that was no longer willing to listen, too eager to get technology out the door without considering the broader implications. And so they were removed, trying to fight for better, you know, equity and inclusion with this technology. Now they're gone. And so we have other articles that kind of talk about what happened after that, but I just wanted to introduce that in there because, you know, we were just talking about like, oh, you know, you need to have a more diverse workplace. You need other voices in there. And what's interesting about that is that like when those people do speak up, those people that are in the room speak up, they're not always really listened to, you know? So it's just like, so that's, there's a cost to that. And then, and it's not like speaking up is easy either. You know what I mean? That's not really their job a lot of the time. So, thought that was an interesting part of the article.
I mean, this is what we mean by systemic and structural, right? Like, it's not a check the box, we fixed the problem type of a thing. It's a culture. It's a way of being. And so I've seen time and time again, especially over these 2 years, where people are like, yeah, we need diversity. Let's get diversity in here. And it's like, well, let's pause and consider the fact that we've not been diverse this whole time. And we've gotten comfortable. And we've seen what we view as successes. So it's not going to be so easy to bring in somebody new, something new, and just be like, all right, we're going to adapt to it. And what crap are you bringing these people into? Yeah. I'm like, wait, y'all ain't never had any black people here before? Do y'all got lotion in the bathroom? You know, like I have questions. So there are so many things to be considered that I think to that point, I think the rush and hurry to produce and to not get canceled or to be right or to prove that you're not negative, it causes us to try to sidestep and circumvent these human factors. You know, you're creating new relationships. You got to kind of, there's some work that has to be done there to make it safe.
Right. Yeah. I think it's so tough. I mean, I'm thinking about my jobs in the past too. You know, I worked for Big Brothers Big Sisters for 5 years. And we had a black CEO, majority black workforce here in Atlanta, which is not that uncommon in Atlanta for certain businesses. Some businesses it is, of course. But it's so interesting, like everything you were saying, Jamie, because then when I switched to a company that was not that way, I moved over to an agency that was incredibly white supremacist and you know what's interesting, and you know, I don't, trying to get into the nuance of this is like, even some of those other nonprofits, I felt like kind of had a white supremacist culture in terms of the way feedback was provided or the way that people were treated, even if that particular branch was majority Black, if the overall organization and the rules that were coming down from quote unquote corporate or head, you know, weren't taking into consideration the exact things that you were just talking about. And so that it's, you know, and I hate not being solution oriented, but I'm just making the observation that, you know, even if you're at a branch where there's a majority of diversity in a company, sometimes that not going all the way to the top or the headquarters can cause that white supremacy or that culture where people of other colors and attitudes and ideas are not considered.
Well, and to add another layer to that, it is possible to have an all-Black organization that perpetuates white supremacist culture. It's in the structures. It's in the things that we consider to be professional, to be right, to be success, to be... We've all been impacted by these beliefs and ways of being. And so it is possible to be Black and white supremacist, or to be Black and anti-Black, right? So it's work we all have to do.
And we're working on it. Y'all, we're solving the problem right now with this podcast. Here we go.
Right now, here it is.
We got it.
Tune in. The solution to racism is right here.
We got it. Well, this next article is from NBC News by Julianne McShane. And Timnit Gebru is part of a wave of Black women working to change AI is the article. And it goes on to talk about Gebru as a known advocate for diversity in AI, who announced the launch of the Distributed Artificial Intelligence Research Institute, or DAIR, DARE. Its website describes it as a, quote, space for independent community-rooted AI research free from big tech's pervasive influence. And, you know, talking about her resigning, as you just mentioned, Mark, in this previous article, Gebru said she learned from a 2020 email from her manager's manager that she had apparently resigned from her high-profile position as a co-lead of Google's ethical AI team, but she never resigned. She was fired after requesting that executives explain why they demanded that she retract a paper she co-authored. And it was that paper was about how large language models, or AI trained on large amounts of text data, a version of which underpins Google's own search engine, could reinforce racism, sexism, and other systems of oppression. And like we talked about earlier, y'all, I think, you know, think about the text we're feeding in, the decades and decades of text from white and European-centric ideology. And if you think for some reason putting in all of that is not going to reinforce racism, sexism, and other systems of oppression, that's interesting. I mean, I hope that we're at a point now where we realize that's obvious. It seems obvious saying it out loud. It seems very obvious that if you put in all the stuff from the past, and if you look at the history and, you know, who's writing these papers that you're putting in, you know, it seems obvious, but it's not for some of these folks. And, you know, Google's head of research, Jeff Dean, said in a company email that the paper, quote, didn't meet our bar for publication, although others within the company have cast doubt on his claim.
Which is funny to hear, because, you know, this new organization that she started has financial support from folks like the MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation, all these places. That's not someone that can't write a paper that's up to standards.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Y'all, I need racism. I don't need this, but I need racism to like get like new material, right? Like, we fired her because she wasn't qualified. We fired her because she wasn't a good fit for our culture. We fired her because, like, it's like, y'all, whatever way you package it, like, whatever synonyms you use, we hear you, but the difference is now more people hear it, and it's not just the Black folks who are like looking around like, did y'all hear this? But it's
Well, you know, this is a very different topic, so like switching, you know, places, but it reminds me of Nicole Hannah-Jones with her tenure situation like a couple of years ago. Nicole Hannah-Jones, author of the 1619 Project, and honestly, I don't remember the story very well, but I just remember seeing headlines being like she was denied tenure wherever she was at, and I'm like, how's that even possible? You know, right. Like, and again, I don't know the details of the story. I just saw something along those lines, and yeah, it comes up sometimes when someone does something the organization, the institute doesn't like, or they feel like it ruffles feathers, calls people out in a certain way. And Jamie, to your point, rather than saying like, oh, this made us uncomfortable, so we got rid of them, instead it's just like, oh no, this is about you and your qualifications or your ability to be professional or something like that. So yeah, so to your point about getting a new script, yeah, you see it in different ways in different places a lot of the time.
Oh yeah, they pass the book around.
Yeah.
And to the point in the previous story, where you had, I believe if I'm remembering the story correctly, that the second person who spoke up in support of the other person was a non-Black person. Or maybe I'm just,
I'm not sure.
That's
up.
A good question.
I don't know.
I don't think it said.
Well, let's just pretend. Yeah. Let me just make up my own news. Sure. And let's just pretend. Because the point that I was going to make is still relevant in that, because what was mentioned in that article was when you speak up around something that is viewed as controversial, you become at risk. And so, again, when we look at these structures, it's not just as simple to be like the Black person will get fired. It is the person who positions themselves against white supremacist standards is at risk, regardless of the race of that person. And so, you know, when we have these conversations, when people talk about allyship or whatever have you, and, you know, Black folks are like, don't come and support me in quiet, you know, at the water cooler. Say it with your chest in the meeting. And we know the reason people don't do that is because, dang, I'm going to be fired too. I don't want to be fired, you know, right? But, you know, some of us don't have that option. But if we just imagine that was the scenario that happened in the previous story, you know, I can see how, regardless of your racial makeup, when you disturb white supremacist structures, then it's inconvenient.
We'll be right back with more Ridiculous News after this short break.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Don't get it confused. You are now tuned in to Ridiculous News.
Hey, y'all, we're back. We're going to continue talking about some organizations, some places that are working to make AI a better, more inclusive place. So this first story comes out of Northwestern's news website, news.northwestern.edu. I went to NU, nice place. They also have a lot to work on, so I'm glad that they're working on trying to make AI more safe and more equitable. Hopefully they can do that with their security in certain buildings as well. So that'd be nice. We can do it for a different podcast. But so y'all, this particular article talks about how to help examine artificial intelligence, AI systems, and evaluate the impact. There's an organization, Underwriters Laboratories, Inc. and Northwestern University. They are joining forces to create a research lab that seeks to better incorporate safety and equity into this technology that is growing really fast. So the Digital Intelligence Safety Research Institute, or DISRI, at Underwriters Laboratories, the goal is to work on this very thing. So the article goes on to say that artificial intelligence informed by machine learning is increasingly ubiquitous in our everyday lives. And that's a quote from Christopher J. Kramer, who is the Underwriters Laboratories Chief Research Officer and acting as the DISRI Executive Director. They went on to say that it's imperative we get it right. We must develop approaches and tests that will incorporate equity into machine learning and hold it to standards guided by both safety and ethical considerations. I'm terrifically excited about this partnership, which will foster research aimed at integrating safety into machine learning and artificial intelligence design, development, and testing processes. So hopefully, you know, that works out in a great way.
Certainly sounds positive. I mean, I think obviously we got to keep working on it. And we realize from all these other articles that we've talked about and just life that it's an issue that we need to continue to work on. I don't think it's ever going to stop. The work will never stop. But, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. I hate to be like Donald Downer, but it's a lot of like interesting language, but I don't know. I'm just curious to see how it actually works.
Well, you know, Mark, to your point, like I know we kind of chuckled and you were like, I hope they apply some of this to the security.
Yeah.
That brings it back to, you know, the conversations that we were having in the beginning. It's like, who's doing the work? Mm-hmm. Who's leading the work? And on top of that, what changes have taken place? Because if they've not done the reparative work to make sure that their students feel safe on campus with their security, I don't trust them to do this, right? Because we're talking about blind spots, and it could be blind spots, and that is best case scenario, right? And there's also complacency and just an unwillingness that could, all these things can contribute to the reasons why things have not changed thus far. And a lot of that also has to do with people not willing to look within and people in structures. Mm-hmm. So if the structure, the institution of Northwestern has not looked within to consider, you know, or to even be aware of the issues that the Black male students on campus might be facing, then they're not equipped. They ain't ready to do this work.
Yep.
I'll say that. And also, you know, let's give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what we got to do. But also, you just have to make sure we come up with these solutions. We must make sure that we've got the people who are equipped to do them are doing them.
You know, one of the things that jumps out to me in all these things that we've talked about is, okay, we have this technology. You know, people are working on improving it, making it less racist. It seems like, you know, and I've said, oh, well, maybe we should just leave this up to people. I mean, is there a solution where we can do both? Is it like, can we test this technology and then have someone there to make sure it works? And then that until we get to a point where it's working well enough, that seems like a solution. You have the AI doing its thing, and I'm sure they're like throwing stuff at the speaker, like that's what we're doing. But you know, it's like let's.
What a novel idea, Bill guy.
Right? Yeah, like this guy clearly doesn't know anything about our process. But you know, that just seems like you know until computers do a better job, if we're implementing this stuff, we have people working alongside it. And I do, of course, advocate for fixing these systems. And this next article goes on to talk about how AI can help combat systemic racism, which is, you know, taking AI even further than what we talked about, just trying to make it not racist. Now we're trying to use it to actually fight racism, which sounds great. So this is from MIT's Institute for Data Systems and Society. And this article is by Scott Murray. And it says, in 2020, Detroit police arrested a black man for shoplifting almost $4,000 worth of watches from an upscale boutique. He was handcuffed in front of his family and spent a night in lockup. After some questioning, however, it became clear they had the wrong man. So why did they arrest him in the first place? The reason, a facial recognition algorithm had matched the photo on his driver's license to grainy security camera footage. And facial recognition algorithms, which have repeatedly been demonstrated to be less accurate for people with darker skin, are just one example of how racial bias gets replicated within and perpetuated by emerging technologies. So Professor S. Craig Watkins, a professor at the University of Texas at Austin, love Austin, said that one of the fundamental questions of the work is, how do we build AI models that deal with systemic inequality more effectively? Systemic change requires a collaborative model and different expertise, says Watkins. We are trying to maximize influence and potential on the computational side, but we won't get there with computation alone. Yeah, see, okay, there you go. We got it's a little bit.
As like a collaborative model, yay. Bill. Yep. There it is.
Watkins goes on to say that models, in my view, can inform policy and strategy that we as humans have to create. Computational models can inform and generate knowledge, but that doesn't equate with change. It takes additional work and additional expertise in policy and advocacy to use knowledge and insights to strive towards progress. He says, I was inspired by the response of younger people to the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Their tragic deaths shine a bright light on the real-world implications of structural racism and has forced the broader society to pay more attention to this issue, which creates more opportunities for change.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like, to your point, Bill, and, you know, that Professor Watkins caught on, such a quick guy he is, that it is all about a conversation and a feedback approach so that when we get things wrong, we look at it and it's like, okay, that was bad, an unacceptable error, as Facebook said. And now we're going to go back and review. So being willing to try something, I think, who is it? My mama, my grandmama, somebody used to say, get caught trying to do right, you know? And, you know, you fall short, you mess up, you know, okay, try again. But making those efforts and then being willing to go back and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but this person with this set of skills and knowledge might have a different perspective that I don't hold. So that it goes beyond just racial diversity in creating these solutions, but a different approaches, different discipline diversities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, in going back to the beginning of this article, I can't imagine if I was a kid and I saw my dad get arrested in front of me and then taken to jail for something he didn't do. You know, like that's just something that stays with you for the rest of your life. And, you know, Mark, to your point about the security thing at Northwestern, that's something that you're probably will never forget. I mean, well, hopefully Alzheimer's is coming. I don't know why I went down that direction. I'm just what the hell, Bill? But you know, that's why, you know, just to highlight why that stuff's so important and why, you know, you think differently about these systems of security and the police and all of these things when stuff like that happens to you or your dad or your uncle or your brother or your neighbor. And it's just highlights why this stuff is so important. And I know this is such an important topic to talk about. And I think, you know, for our listeners, I'm lucky enough to be around amazing people like Jamie and Mark that are open and talking about this stuff. I know not everybody is able to have these conversations or is around a diverse, you know, group of people. And I don't know what the solution of that for some people is, like move.
I mean, we move for lesser reasons, right? Y'all racist as hell. Let me go on ahead and get myself up out of here because y'all be tripping over here.
It's such a terror. Yeah.
And the food will probably be better when you move too. I'm just saying. Lots of reasons.
And maybe a better, not crazy way for me to say that is like travel. You know, is like expand your horizons. I do think, I just wish that everyone on the planet could travel and experience other things. And if that means that you're in a very uniform place, even in America, I think that's one good way to try to change your perspective, you know, and start to see how these kinds of discriminatory practices in machines affect people in a very human like way, because if you're
and in very practical ways, right? Like I'm sorry, Bill, I just jumped in, but I was just reminded about I was watching a panel interview with people of color who are in this work, and they were discussing the racism and just talking about things like how the automatic faucets in bathrooms, you know, wouldn't turn on for Black people because they didn't recognize Black hands. Or, you know, the problem with, you know, AI voice activated, you know, computer thingies. And it's like, you know, they won't recognize certain tones or whatever, because it's like, do you want to continue listening to primates? Because that's, what I mean? It's like, doesn't recognize this as a human voice. You know, I mean, and I know Black folks are well versed in the code switching that we do, where we put on a certain voice when we're on the phone so that you don't know that we are melanated until we walk into the interview, right? But, you know, if I'm talking to Alexa, I don't want to have to put on my white lady voice just to get her to play WAP. I mean, hello.
Yeah, I do sound like such a robot when I talk to Alexa. And I don't know, maybe at the end of the day, these robot stuff's just going to make us all robotic. I'm like, Alexa, play that bop, 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 bop. It's terrible.
I mean, I think that's their goal, actually. I think what was that Will Smith movie that
tried to warn us about?
iRobot. I think that was the warnings. Like, listen, they're trying to make you all robots. And here you are, Bill. It's a slippery slope.
I am on a slope of slipperiness. Yes. Well, I feel like hopefully listening to this article for folks too, if you're not in a diverse situation, hopefully this just is a reminder to everybody to think outside the box. Think about if you're designing a faucet system, maybe not everybody's hands look like yours. You know, if you're designing a security matching system, maybe the way that the camera records an image, it's not made to record darker skin tones in a more accurate way, and you need to consider that. So just another aspect of considering everything and everyone. And that brings us to our final segment here, which is our Spring of Inspiring Inspirations. And Mark, you pulled a really great quote for this one.
Yeah, so this quote's from Octavia Butler. And the quote is, all that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change.
So, everybody, let's change.
I mean, really, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Just change really quick, and then the world will be a better place.
Yeah, I think the one constant in life is impermanence and change. And so you can fight it and die, or you can move with it and make the world a better place. And as always, listeners, I hope you're making the world a better place. You are by listening to our podcast, and we love you for it. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Jamie, thank you so much for being here. What's the best way for people to follow you, keep in touch with you, support you?
Oh, thank you for asking, Mark. Well, you know, they can follow me on the socials. If you just enter SANG, S-A-N-G, Miss Jamie, SANG, S-A-N-G, M-S-J-A-Y-M-E, you can find me on the Facebooks and on the Instagrams. You know, I just went ahead and left Twitter alone because, you know, they on their own little journey. I'm going to let them have it. You can visit my website, jamie-olilaw.com. And if you are interested in seeing my coaching or my speaking, those kinds of offerings, you can visit From the Core, core like an apple core, fromthecorecoaching.com.
Awesome, y'all. Please follow Jamie, stay in touch with her, and you can stay in touch with us by emailing us at ridiculousnews@iheartmedia.com and on Facebook and IG, follow Ridiculous News, and you can check out our comedy videos at Mark Kendall Comedy. Bye, y'all.
Thanks, y'all. See ya.
Ridiculous News is hosted by Mark Kendall and Bill Worley. Executive producers are Ben Bolin and Noel Brown. Produced and edited by Tari Harrison. Research provided by Casey Willis. And theme music by Four Eyes and Dr. Delight. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.